Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Mac Dominic continues his look at the Portal of the Abyss. Friends, we are only a few days away from the premier event of 2024, Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th in the Cincinnati area. Speakers include Derek Gilbert, Rudy Landa, Michael Hoggard, Micah Van Hus, and many others. For a complete listing of speakers and topics, and a link to special hotel rates, visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Giants, UFOs, dragons, demons, secret societies, topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, June 7th and 8th. Registration is open with a limited number of VIP packages still available. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, and register today. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Mysteries of the Bible Verse event, June 7th and 8th in Cincinnati. One of the featured speakers at our Mysteries of the Bible Verse event is today's guest, Mac Dominic. Mac returns to continue his look at the Portal of the Abyss. Here's Mac Dominic with today's host, Micah Van Hus.
Welcome back to the program today. I'm your host, Micah Van Hus, and today we are continuing our discussion with Mac Dominic. Mac Dominic will be speaking for us at Southwest Radio Ministries at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. You can register for the Mysteries of the Bible Verse. We're less than a month away. You can register at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, or you can call in Southwest Radio Ministries to reserve your spot at 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144. At the Mysteries of the Bible Verse Conference, we will be talking about the topics that your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. And today, again, we have with us Mac Dominic. Mac is one of our speakers. He will be speaking on his two topics, Jesus and the Spirits of the Watchers, and Jesus the Gatekeeper. How are you doing today, Mac?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Look forward to this discussion today. Tell us about this discussion you're going to be having.
Well, you know, yesterday we talked about the events that took place between the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. And we're going to go to another parallel passage here to those passages in 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. And that passage is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. This is also a very strange passage to most people, but I want to read that to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And so we see here a passage that talks about, again, Jesus' descent into the underworld when he died on the cross. But we get this strange phrase here that when he ascended, in other words, when he was getting ready to rise from the dead, he led captivity captive. That's kind of a strange phrase for us in our 20th century vernacular, but it's very interesting because that is a quote directly from the Old Testament. And it shows up in Psalm 68, in verse 18, we read, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, and hast received gifts for men. And so we see in Ephesians, the context is that Jesus died on the cross, he descended into the underworld, and when he came back out of the underworld, he led captivity captive, and a phrase that is used in Psalm 68. Well, when we go to Psalm 68, we find another very strange passage. Well, I shouldn't say strange, but a very unusual passage that needs some closer examination to make sure we know what it's talking about. And I want to start in verse 15 of Psalm 68, and I'm going to read from the ESV here. because it's a little bit clearer in the translation, but we're even going to try to clarify that translation a little bit. But it starts out and says, O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. And then it goes into that verse. In the ESV, it reads, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord may dwell there. It's talking about the mountain of Bashan. Now, that first phrase, if we look at the Hebrew, and again, we talked about this last week, we really want to look at the text. And if we believe that God in God's word is inspired, and it is inspired in the original manuscripts, we really need to try to get as close to that as we possibly can. And when we look at the Hebrew in Psalm 68 in verse 15, the phrase mountain of God is actually mountain of Har Elohim, or mountain Har Elohim, of God. Now, we know that word God, that word Elohim, I'm sorry, in the Hebrew appears about 2,500 times in the Old Testament, and most of the time it refers to God, the Creator God, God our Father, the God that we all worship, Yahweh. But there are other times when it refers to other spiritual entities and would better be translated gods, small letter G, gods.
Yeah. Psalm 82 verse 1 is a perfect example. That verse has both Elohim capital and Elohim plural.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Psalm 82 is another one of these passages. But the problem that we have as English speakers is there are no capital letters in Hebrew. So we have to translate and interpret by the context. The mountain of Bashan, we know from Scripture, is Mount Hermon. We know where Mount Hermon is. It's in what we call today the Golan Heights. It is the tallest mountain in the region. And according to the book of Enoch, Mount Hermon is where these watchers that we talked about last time descended from heaven. And we also that Mount Hermon is the place that the god El, the Canaanite god El, and his 70 sons hold their assemblies. Mm-hmm. We also know that Mount Hermon has a history of pagan religions and occult, what we would call occult goings on there at Mount Hermon. If we translate this instead of, O mountain of God, if we translate this, O mountain of the God, that is probably a little bit clearer. Mountain of Bashan, that's Mount Hermon, O many-peaked mountain, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, that God desired for his abode? The mountain that God desires for his abode, we know for a fact, is Mount Zion, there at Jerusalem, and we're told that over and over in the Old Testament. The question is, this starts out talking about Mount Hermon, and then all of a sudden, that thou hast ascended on high and led captivity captive. What in the world does that have to do with Mount Hermon? Because we see what's going on in the New Testament. That's when Jesus arises from the underworld. So what is going on? Well, let's look at verses 22 and 23. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. You may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. But he's saying, I will bring them back from Bashan. Let's think about this. We need to use our brains when we read our Bible, and I think a lot of people don't do that very much. But we need to think about this. Jesus descended into the underworld. He comes back out of the underworld, bringing captives with him, and he gathers them there and ascends to on high. What in the world is going on? We look at Mount Hermon and look at what is going on there. There is a cave on the lower slopes of Mount Hermon in a village called Benias, This cave is known as the Grotto of Pan and also called the Gates of Hell. Now, interestingly enough, it was called this at the time of Jesus. And there are a lot of things that went on in the ministry of Jesus around this village of Benias and the village by the name of Caesarea Philippi, because Jesus and his apostles were there several times. But this being the gates of hell and known as the gates of hell, why do we really even care? Well, let's start putting this puzzle together, because Jesus descended into the underworld. He led captivity captive. He led captives out. And if he came out of the underworld, which we know as Hades or hell, how would he get out? He would have to come out the gates of hell. Hmm. Well, then we've got to ask, well, why hadn't captives come out of the gates of hell before? Why didn't they just walk through? Well, the answer is they did not have the keys to the gate. And the interesting thing here is that we are told in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, in verse 18, Jesus says this, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." We have to realize, again, looking at the text, in the Greek, those words hell and death are proper names, Hades and Thanatos. Were Hades and Thanatos?
Does that relate, Jesus having the keys to hell, does that relate at all to Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, when the angel of the Lord descends from heaven with the keys?
Yes, the keys were given either to this angel, unless this is the angel of the Lord being Jesus. But I do not think the angel of the Lord in the New Testament is Jesus. But yes, that's where the keys, it's the same key.
Okay, well, you were getting into Thanatos. Let me take a real quick break to talk about the mysteries of the Bible verse, and we'll get back to that.
Okay.
So, Mac Dominic, I love this topic, and I'm looking forward to hearing Mac speak on this topic. It's so fascinating. You're doing such an amazing job of bringing it down to every little detail, the level. When you've studied this stuff for years, it's easy to, when you talk about it, to skip over the minute details that beginners may miss, but you've done such an excellent job, and it's such a fascinating topic, and you're doing it so well, so I'm not going to stop you. Keep going.
Well, I have one other thing to talk about in relationship to this. I don't know, maybe I should save something for the conference, but here we go.
Yeah. Well, you've got a beautiful slide presentation that goes with this, with some artwork, so there's that.
Oh, yeah. I've got great images.
Yeah.
That's my claim to fame. It's really interesting, because we see the gates of hell mentioned in the New Testament in another place. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, when Jesus is talking to Peter, and he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, you know, that verse is one that has just been hotly debated over the centuries, because
the authority of the Pope.
Roman Catholic. Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church says, well, Peter was the first pope, and he is the rock upon that the church was built. As a Bible-believing Christian and going to Bible-teaching churches for many, many, many years, I was taught that with the original language says that Peter, thou art Peter, the little stone, and upon the boulder I will build my church. But no one really could give me a good explanation of what hell shall not prevail against it. Here's the thing. If you are up against gates that are locked, you either want to get into somewhere or you want to get out. Just as an example of a prison, there's no one that you know, unless they want to break someone out of jail, that wants the keys to the jailhouse so they can get in. Stay there.
Yeah.
It's just not something. That's not something that that you would want to do. So how does this make sense? Well, here's what I believe. When Jesus told Peter this, where was he? They were in Caesarea Philippi. Was the church even established at that point in time? No, the church was a mystery until it was revealed in the book of Acts chapter 2 when the church came into existence. Yes, the Greek word here we see in Matthew 16 is ekklesia, and that is the word that we translate church all through the New Testament. But at this point in time, the church did not exist. There was no such thing as the church. And we need to translate that, on this rock I will build my assembly, because that is the literal meaning of ekklesia. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he was telling Peter, and they were in Caesarea Philippi at the foot of Mount Hermon, very close to the gates of hell, and everyone that he was talking to knew the gates of hell were there. Jesus was pointing to Mount Hermon and maybe even to the Grotto of Pan at the time. I don't know if that was the case or not. And said, on this rock, I will build my assembly and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Was he talking about the church? I don't believe he was. I believe it goes back to Psalm 68, where Jesus said, I will bring them back to from Bashan. Bashan is the region of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the Mount of Bashan. And I believe what Jesus was telling Peter, hey, look, the day is coming that I'm going to unlock the gates of hell. They're not going to prevail against it. And I'm going to build my assembly here on Mount Hermon. And we're going to go straight from there into the presence of the Father. And all of those folks in the Old Testament that have believed in Yahweh and trusted in him will go with me to the Father at that point in time. And I believe that is exactly what he was talking about, because the church did not exist the time that Jesus said it. There is no way that the gates of hell would have been anything that would have attacked the church at all, because the church doesn't want to get into the gates of hell. And so I think we've misinterpreted this verse for a long, long time. And I believe when you take 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, Ephesians, Psalm 68, and Revelation 1:18, and you interpret them in context, according to the original language, the puzzle comes together, and it gives us exactly what was going on with Jesus prior to his ascension in heaven, into heaven, and sitting at the right hand of the Father.
You have deciphered that so well and interpreted it so well for us, and you've put it so easy. I know folks are chomping at the bit to learn more about this. And folks can learn more about what Mac is talking about at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. We're less than a month away. We're only a couple weeks away now. Make sure you reserve your tickets to come hear Mac speak. Get some of his resources, some of the stuff he's talked about. He does have resources on some of it. Come to the Mysteries of the Bible Verse, where you'll hear Mac Dominic, myself, Micah Van Hus, speaking on the Earth as it was in secret societies. Also, we have Josh Davis talking about AI as it relates to the end times. Greg Patton is talking about at war with demons. Michael Hoggard is the UFO pastor. He is speaking on sightings of the spirit realm and spirit realm UFOs. Rudy Landa is a filmmaker. He did the Angels and Giants DVD. He will be speaking for us on Friday. Derek Gilbert will be speaking on unmasking Lucifer, the fallen angel more dangerous than Satan. Fascinating stuff that relates to his book, The Second Coming of Saturn. Come on out to the Mysteries of the Bible Verse in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. Accompanied children 12 and under are free. You can register at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, or you can call Southwest Radio Ministries not only to register but also to get some of Mac's resources at 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144, and ask for Mac Dominic's resources. So, Mac, this has been an awesome discussion these last 2 days, and I am very much looking forward to talking with you more about it at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse.
I am really excited about it.
The complete 2-day conversation with Mac Dominic is available today on CD. Order your copy of this fascinating conversation when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Most Bible readers today fail to grasp the fact that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are specifically written not just to tell stories of a time before history, but to give us a correct interpretive framework for understanding the rest of the Bible. In Mac Dominic's DVD teaching series, Deliver Us From Evil, We learn about interdimensional rebellion, retribution, and reconciliation from creation to the kingdom. We learn about the birth of the gods, the portal to the abyss that is slammed shut by God, and the forces of evil. In this 4-DVD set, we'll learn that there will ultimately be a happy ending for the world's population, as the Lord Jesus Christ will ultimately reverse the rebellion, defeat all evil entities, and reign as King of Kings over the entire earth. Deliver Us from Evil. The 4-DVD set is available today for a gift of $60 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this set at our website, swrc.com. Deliver Us from Evil. 4-DVD set by Mac Dominic. 1-800-652-1144. Our host, Pastor Larry Spargimino, comes now with an important update on the work that is taking place in Pakistan.
This is Pastor Larry. Pastor Victor Samuel is on the phone with me. He is, of course, the CEO of Grace Charity School in Pakistan. Friends, this is our final appeal. We need your help. The school is unable to meet its financial obligations. The situation is critical. Our economy in America is in terrible shape. Discretionary spending on charities is very limited because of conditions in America. And of course, this is an election year, a very, very important election coming up. The school does not have air conditioning at present. Several other essentials will be cut off very shortly. Hello, Pastor Victor. So nice to be with you.
Hello, Pastor Larry. How are you? I'm doing good, and it's so nice to be with you as well.
Well, Pastor Victor, tell us what will happen to these children, 400 or more children, boys and girls. What will happen to them without Grace Charity School? What will the closing of this wonderful ministry really mean for them?
Well, hello, everyone. God bless you. That's a very thoughtful question, Pastor Larry. The children of bricklayers workers in Pakistan often face the significant challenges in accessing education. If two schools close, it could further exacerbate the issue. Many of these children are forced to work alongside their parents in the bricklayers, exposing them to hazardous conditions and limiting their opportunities for education and social mobility. And if schools close, it could lead to, number one, increased child labor. Without access to education, so more children might be forced to work in the bricklayers to support their families. Number two, loss of educational progress. Closing schools would disrupt the educational journey of these children. Number three, limited future opportunities. Without education, these children may struggle to break the cycle of poverty. But the child labor is very worse to the old world alongside their parents in bricklayers, often for 12 hours a day in hazardous conditions. And many families are trapped in the debt bondage, forcing children to work to pay off loans. Access to education is limited, and many children are illiterate or have minimal schooling. And the children face health risks from dust, heat, and accidents in the claims. Inadequate food and nutrition lead to stunted growth and related health issues. And if we close these schools, there will be many health issues. Because for these children and for these people, medical care is often unavailable or unaffordable. Children are at risk of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Children are usually to break the cycle of poverty with few opportunities for betterment. At the end, I must say it is important to raise awareness and support initiatives that address challenges and promote the rights and well-being of bricklayer children in Pakistan. So guys, you know, if we close the schools, things are going to be very worse for these children. Me and Pastor Larry and some of my family members have worked very hard to rescue these children. We have now hundreds of children who are only looking to us because they don't have anyone else to take care. If we close these schools, they will not have anywhere to go. We will be, I don't know what else to say, but these children will have no future, no future at all. Brothers and sisters, we appeal you, we request you. This is really, I can't control my emotions right now. I have been not sleeping well. I am really very sick because of just thinking of this, that we won't have the schools for these children. Right now, the temperature gets very high in Pakistan in the daytime. Just imagine, we don't have the electricity. They cut off our electricity at schools. And today, it was very harsh. It was very hard to see the children sitting outside of the classrooms because we don't have light and we don't have the fans. The air conditioning is far, far away from our school. We just had the fans always, but now we even don't have that. And there is no wind blowing at all, even outside. There is a humidity. You can just imagine how hard it is for any child.
Yes, well, thank you so much.
I just request.
Yes, I think you've explained the need. It's such a sad matter to close down such a wonderful and essential ministry. I think we've been in operation probably 12, 13, 14 years. So friends, if you can help us, and I am speaking from the bottom of my heart, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144, 1-800-652-1144. And if all you can do for us is pray for us, we would love that as well. Pastor Victor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much too, Brother Larry.
In the DVD series, Deliver Us from Evil by Mac Dominic, we'll learn that there will ultimately be a happy ending for the world's population as the Lord Jesus Christ will ultimately reverse the rebellion, defeat all evil entities, and reign as King of Kings over the entire earth. Deliver Us from Evil, the 4-DVD set, is available today for a gift of $60 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this set at our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, we'll launch a brand new initiative to reach children for Christ. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by downloading our SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.